That's the sound of a skateboard in a Sean Gladwell video. Sometimes he even films himself. He might be skateboarding in front of a rising storm. He might be sitting on a surfboard in a wash of turquoise. Or he might be motorbiking with arms outstretched down the middle of a desert road. Sean Gladwell's videos often feature a lonely figure, whether it's himself or another performer, challenging his body, performing gracefully and free in the natural landscape. Is there anything more thrilling? More holy. Sean brings his love of street culture and copious art history references to his work, which includes paintings, photography, prints, drawings, videos, and VR. All of these mediums are on show in the survey exhibition Pacific Undertow. It's now showing at the Museum of Contemporary Art in Sydney. It's Sean's first exhibition since he moved back to Australia last year after close to a decade living in the UK. And the show features some of his work from his exhibition representing Australia at the Venice Biennale 10 years ago now. Sean Gladwell, it's a pleasure to have you on The Art Show.
Great to be here. Thank you.
Sean, I have to ask, how did you actually get to the studio?
Unfortunately, I didn't ride a motorcycle this morning because it was a bit wet out there. So I took the easy cab option, shamefully.
Okay. Yeah. Hey, so Sean, you can paint, you can draw, you make films, you skate, you surf. Is there anything that you can't do?
There's a lot of things I can't do. I'm not even sure if I can do all of those things you've described well. I just like having a go. I like having just to try it, experiment. I think I'm actually a terrible surfer. I think we have to retract that one. I think my surfing is really not up to scratch. And I've always just loved drawing. Yeah. Whether I'm good at it or not, I never stop drawing.
What's the latest thing that you've had a go at?
Probably VR. I love this virtual reality technology, and it's endlessly fascinating, and it's moving so fast as a kind of technology that no one really has a grip on it, I don't think. Or people are specializing in it, and that's very interesting. And I specialize in making mistakes in VR, and that's been very interesting. It's been great.
Can you talk about the work which is on show at the MCA that involves VR? So VR, virtual reality, just to establish that for a start.
Yep. Sure. It's a piece that I had a chance to make as a part of this show, which is it's a new work, which is exciting. It's called Electronic Monuments, and it's a 7-minute journey into the exhibition space. In a way, it just looks at the space that people are in the museum, and then they put the headset on. They see that space again rendered through the computer, and then these manipulations take place. It's one thing that's very difficult to explain, virtual reality, because I feel like people really need to be in there, like cinema, but then there's that difference with cinema having a frame.
Yes.
And VR not having a visual frame, so people are really immersed. Basically Electronic Monuments immerses people into a space that looks like the one that they've just sort of left, in a way, or they're still standing in physically, and we go from there.
Sean, would you say that your original artworks were skating?
Well, yeah, it's tough because I feel like, you know, skateboarders are like artists, you know, and athletes are like artists, soldiers are like artists, dancers are like soldiers are like artists. It's all, for me, if anyone puts their body on the line and they're fully committed, that's good enough for me. So yeah, skateboarding was probably the first time I thought about art, because also skateboarding as a subculture was connected to a whole visual culture, and there was a lot of art connected to skateboarding. It had its own videos, it had its own magazines, had some pretty cool t-shirt graphics as well. Yeah. So there was that. There was the act of skateboarding, and then there was the culture of skateboarding, which I loved.
Yes. And you left school to become a skateboarder, right?
For a time, yeah. My parents were very cool with me, and just they were very supportive, and I wanted to do it professionally. But I didn't last for very long. I sort of went back and studied my HSC after just being basically beaten down with injuries from skateboarding.
Oh.
Yeah, so I kind of, but I was supported by my parents, and I was doing it full time for a while, and that was amazing. That was an incredible thing to have skateboarding as my sort of full time occupation.
Do you feel that act of skateboarding in your videos is something transcendent for yourself?
Yeah, I mean, I guess I just love skateboarding. And then when I went to art school, I was searching for a subject. Like I wanted to work out what it was that I wanted to celebrate or analyze or just think about through art. And it was things like skateboarding. It was the act of skateboarding as a kid in the suburbs and knowing that that was a very creative sport. It was a very creative activity that I did with my friends or I did alone. And it helped me just read my environment in a different way.
Yeah.
Car parks became stages and areas in which to train. Stairs became sort of launch ramps, or handrails became these kind of precarious things that you slid on. It was just a different way of looking at the world. And I wasn't the best example of that. You know, professional skateboarders, and I could name several hundred, were very inspiring.
Yes.
And I was just wanting to sort of harness that creatively. And at art school, that's what I was drawn to, yes, what I was doing on the weekends.
Sean, with your video artworks, something that can be observed in art galleries when you have video artworks there is that if they're more than, say, a couple of minutes long, you quite often see that people don't stay and watch the whole thing. What's your feeling about that?
Yeah, I think it's something that's particular to video art. And it's what I actually love, is that you're not trapped in a cinema. There's no running time, and there's no kind of chronology that unfolds. It's not like a kind of thing where you're going to miss the experience if you got there late. And I love this idea that there's a kind of openness and freedom to video art that's similar to painting. You choose the time that you wish to sit or stand in front of that work, and you have the freedom to kind of come and go, knowing that you're not going to sort of sabotage your experience of the artwork if you only spend a minute or 10 seconds in front of it. That's a legitimate way of looking at that work, as well as people who want to meditate in front of it for an hour, or there is no whole work and there is no, you know, fast track. It's all legitimate within video art. And I love that sense that the viewer has a sense of power or freedom.
Yes. So is this why your work is relatively slow paced? That you can, in fact, then perhaps conversely have an experience of it in a small amount of time?
Yeah, sure. You can see a kind of detail of the work. If the work has a duration, like it goes for an hour or whatever, to just see it in slow motion is kind of more like a painting. Do you know, you saw it, yes, move like a few millimeters or inches, or it, you know, if the video experience doesn't have a soundtrack, that even brings it closer to the medium of painting for me. Yeah. So slowing down a video without having a soundtrack, somehow video starts to talk to painting, you know, yeah, especially if it's very slow. But I just love the idea that there's no right or wrong way of engaging video art in that sense.
Yes, that's really good to know, Sean, because quite often, like, if I don't watch the whole of the video, I sort of feel a bit guilty, you know, that I haven't paid enough respect to the artist. But actually, you've sort of freed that way of thinking. So thank you.
Oh, no worries. No. Well, look, you're going to lose points if you only spend a minute or 10 seconds in front of my work. In fact, I love the history of minimalism in America in the 60s, where artists would make art objects that could be apprehended within a few seconds, because some of the minimal sculptors were also working in museums and they were sort of, you know, invigilators, or people who would mine the artworks and offer explanations to people that'd be guiding. And they'd notice that the average time that people looked at an artwork was only a few seconds, mm-hmm, and so they responded accordingly. And so I think that video art, or my particular, I'm only speaking for myself and my own practice. I'm sure that there's video artists that would be really offended if you just gave them 10 seconds, but I don't care. That 10 seconds out of your life, your attention is perfectly fine.
Now, Sean, you're well known also for your art pranks and your works referencing other artists. For instance, Duchamp's bicycle wheel, that's on show at the Art Gallery of New South Wales at the moment. That famous so-called ready-made artwork. But you've got your own ready-made Duchamp bicycle wheel. What's your version of it?
Well, you know, actually, Ed, my version is like a faithful reproduction of Duchamp's. Like it's like a, I tried to get the same stool and bicycle wheel,
yeah,
and then I just attached them together. But I was also interested in the fact that it had to be pretty robust and stay together, because I wanted a few of my friends to actually ride that sculpture.
So you've actually made a kind of almost like a unicycle.
It is. Well, yeah. It's just the exact replica of that original 1913. If people don't know, it's just a bicycle wheel that's inverted and stuck. The forks of the bicycle wheel are stuck on the top of a stool, like a bar stool, It did change art history, and it was an incredible moment. I think we're all still trying to recover from the concept of the ready-made.
Sean, I love your take on it, and there is something just so beautiful about the mechanical and engineering perfection of ball bearings going around so smoothly. But staying on the theme of motorbikes, with your pavilion at the 2009 Venice Biennale, you reference Mad Max. You had a motorbike actually coming through the wall. What was happening there?
Well, I just loved this bike that I was using for a few works. There was a few performances that I did out back Australia on this Yamaha R6. I don't know if there's any motorcycle riders out there.
That's a very highly powered motorbike, right?
It's not the most powerful. The 1000cc kind of bikes are much faster, but I love the 600cc bikes because they're a bit lighter, but they're really just responsive. Mm. And I could just probably talk about motorcycles for the next hour. But anyway, I did put an R6, which is one of my favorite motorcycles, into the side of the Australian Pavilion, and that was a lot of fun. It was really great to see it kind of stuck. It was kind of half inside, half outside. Actually, there's only a little bit of the front wheel popping inside the pavilion. It looked very abstract, like a little rubber kind of bump on the inside of the wall. But then when people kind of walked outside and around, they saw that it was just the tip of the nose of this motorcycle that was fully kind of suspended outside the pavilion. Yeah. So it was a bit of a fun piece, that one.
Oh, so great. And speaking of art pranks, for some years you've taken photographs of people hanging upside down on statues. Can you talk more about that?
Yeah, look, that's another series of work where it was, really about having that moment with some friends where we would see some monuments in different cities. A lot of them are around Sydney, where I grew up. I'm sort of a Sydney boy, and I would just run up to the monuments, either do a handstand or my buddies would do some handstands, and we'd take photos. And it was this beautiful moment where we'd be there for like a few seconds. We wouldn't hurt the sculptures or the monuments. There was no trace, but it was really fun to do. What I would do is I would invert the photo and turn it upside down. So our punk move on the bottom of these sculptures would actually be sort of the monument. And the bronze figure would be the plinth. So it was a very simple idea.
Yes.
But I would keep kind of playing that idea out in different ways on different monuments, and it was a lot of fun.
Now, Sean, before you go, in just a moment, I'm going to be speaking with some artists who've been looking at the idea of human physical perfection. And so I was mentioning earlier the image of you riding that motorbike with arms outstretched in one of your videos. And that's a reference to Leonardo da Vinci's Vitruvian Man. So that's the man drawn within a circle, his arms outstretched, reaching the edges of the circle, supposedly perfect proportions. So with yourself, do you seek perfection in some way in your work? What's your take on that physical perfection?
I'm not sure if I'd be comfortable with perfection. I mean, or I would probably want to shift the term in different ways, like with the Vitruvian logic that, I mean, we're talking about, Leonardo so beautifully describes the symmetry and balance of the human body, and our form is balanced, and in that way that we can sort of start to look at it in terms of the geometry of a circle or a square. But to try and sort of, I guess, perform it rather than just illustrate it was my problem with that work with the motorcycle, where I'm sort of heading down. Well, it was just a figure. It didn't matter who it was on the bike. Any motorcycle rider can do it, if they know that there's no oncoming traffic and it's very safe. Of course, I wouldn't condone riding without hands on the handlebars. But it just demonstrated that we can do that. We balance, and we have this kind of incredible sense of our own center of gravity. Well, that's perfection for me, being on a highway and just going, look, mum, no hands. So it's a very complex thing, I think, when we start to unpack a concept like the perfect. But I'm interested in that.
Yeah, listen to the next interview, Sean, and I hope you enjoy it. But thank you so much for coming in. You're one of my favourite Australian artists, so it's really, really, really exciting to be able to speak with you. And Be safe on that motorbike. Put your hands on occasionally on the handlebars.
Cheers, buddy. I will. Thank you. Thank
Sean, you. Sean Gladwell. Sean has his show Pacific Undertow. It's at the MCA in Sydney until the 7th of October. And to see some of Sean's beautifully balanced images, you can come to our art show website.